Second Timothy chapter number 2. I'd like to ask each one of us a question to start out with this morning. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming back? Now I got another question, being you honest there. How many folk are going to see it in the way we act this week? Will there be a shining light? I think Christians ought to get excited. I preached in so many churches where you look out across the congregation and you think everybody just got through sucking a dozen lemons. Hey, our best days are yet to come. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to speak to you on this subject this morning, a Christian soldier. A Christian soldier. Matter of fact, we've already had one good sermon this morning. I don't know about the Sunday school lesson, but we had a good sermon. And maybe what I'm about to say will follow up on some of what he had to say. But you look in verse number 1, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. The Bible says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of the life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive to masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Now, back many years ago, that's been a long time, that's back in Noah's day, when I joined the service, I knew I was supposed to get drafted, so I didn't want to be in the Army. And so I went down to the recruiting station there in Thomaston, and I volunteered for the Navy. And took my exam in Atlanta and got sworn in here in Macon. I'd never eaten anything but a hard-done egg. But on my way to San Diego, California, we picked up two shore patrols, and they stopped us from eating good. And man, the first morning those shore patrols was on that train, they brought out eggs that the white was still running. I mean, you didn't have no trouble seeing the eyeballs of them eggs, I guarantee you that. And I began to learn some stuff then. I thought to myself, "Oh boy, what have you got yourself into now?" And when we got to San Diego and got checked in and got our issue of clothing and all of that and got settled in, the next morning they loaded us up on a bus and carried us out into the desert where the Marine Corps fellas trained at. We stayed out there 7 weeks. Freeze to death at night, burn up during the day out on that desert. And I began to see some things fall in place. Now, my daddy would have never called me but one time when I was at home. He meant for you to get up. The next thing you knew, if you hadn't got up, you got a cold bucket of water thrown in your face. It wasn't hard to get up then. Might as well get up, the bed's wet, and you can't be comfortable in a wet bed. And so, but there's a lot of things that goes into this thing of being a soldier. I was telling Brother Gillis, I believe it was a while ago, I was reading by some stuff the other day, and I read something by old Dr. Vance Havner, a preacher out of North Carolina. He said there's a lot of folk in our churches that have been starched and pressed, but they have never been washed. Did you get that? Yeah, they got the name on the church roll, but you don't ever see them. My conviction is there's something wrong with what they got, ladies and gentlemen. If I'd done my wife like a lot of folks do the church, I wouldn't have had a wife very long. And most of you men wouldn't either. A woman has to be touched and told. A man just takes it for granted and he gets himself in trouble by taking it for granted. There's some things I'd like to share with you about this soldier this morning. And think about this Christian soldier for just a minute. And the only way to be, you start with the only way to be a Christian soldier is to be born again, by the way. You can't get into the family of God unless you're born then. If I had the time, and I don't, but if I had time, I could go to John 3 and show you right quick, like. He said that you must be born of the water and the Spirit. He's talking about using the word water there for the Word of God. And you wasn't born in this world because if there hadn't been water there, you'd more likely been born dead. And you wouldn't be around today. So that's the first clue that we ought to have out of the Word of God. But we find the soldier's task, the first thing is. Now, our task is, when we got a commander, is to follow his rules and orders. And most of us don't like orders to start with. And so let me just stop here and put this piece of information in your lunch sack this morning. My ground of fellowship is not on where the preacher went to school at. Many of our Bible schools are not what they ought to be. My ground of fellowship is on the Word of God. And that I want you to love me, but I'm not going to compromise with you to get you to love me. I took a stand as a soldier of Jesus Christ many years ago. I'm not going to tell you how long. You figure out how old I am. And that's not necessary this morning because my birthday's already passed and you can't do nothing about that. And so here it is. Now, we're to follow orders. I found out when I went into service, there's a chain of command that came down. Our chain of command starts with the Lord Jesus Christ and comes down. It's an honor for a church to have a pastor that believes the book and preaches the book and have Sunday school teachers to do like Brother Rouser did this morning and to teach us from the Word of God. And so we're to follow orders all the time. And I don't see that many young folk in here, but when I was coming up, when an adult spoke to us, it was yes, sir, no, sir. Or if a lady spoke, it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It wasn't this yeah and no bit. You know, on corn. Okay? So there's a task that we must follow. And not only that, we need to learn how to fight. I remember the first day we went out on the firing range to learn how to fire the weapons that they'd issued us. And there's a fellow about two places down below where I was at. All of a sudden they realized that there were no holes anywhere in his target. So they stopped all of us from shooting and pulled us back and just left him there. And told him to reload his gun and to shoot again. And he was hitting the target two men down below him. And he couldn't see good, is what I'm trying to tell you. And I find a lot of people that name the name of Christ today, they can't see too good anyway. They're trying to follow orders from somebody else. I'll tell you what, we're not going to find any denominations when we get to heaven. And we're not going to find any conventions that are going on. It's either going to be Christ or nothing at all. He's our master. He's our teacher. He's our commander in chief. And we're to recognize him and respect him. He is not the man upstairs giving us orders. He is God Almighty. He's the Son of the living God. And therefore, he has a right to give us orders in that life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4:19, he said unto them, follow me, and I will do what? Make you fishers of men. Then I found out we're to learn how to fight. Now, Baptists, Baptist folk don't have to have anybody to teach them to fight. If you've been in Baptist churches very long, you already know what I'm talking about. We just like to fight. If I don't like what you say, I'm going to let you know about it. That's the wrong attitude to have, but that's the way it's been all these years. Somebody said, how come there's so many Baptist churches across Macon? And many of them started because they couldn't get along where they was at, so they went out and started their own. Oh, I see some of you frowning now. Come on, smile. And so here it is. And of course then, if I listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12, I find out that we're to fight against sin. Sin is anything that transgresses the law of God. I find out that we're to fight against temptation. Now, I haven't drank any coffee or tea since 1909 when I had a heart attack. But I tell you what, there are times that I'm tempted, especially when I go in these malls and go by them coffee shops, and the devil sends that aroma out across that aisle. Oh, I get in a trot to get away from that because I'm not going to bend down and do it after I've been stopped all this long. So we have some things that we ought to fight a good fight of faith if we're looking at the Word of God and figure that out. Then I find out that soldiers are supposed to be in training. You and I are supposed to be in training all the time. How often... let me do it this way. When I was coming up, we were programmed, I guess you could say. Brother Gillis, we were programmed in the Baptist Church, I was coming, that we have devotions. I mean, it was pushed constantly, always, that we were to have devotions, not just our own private devotion, but family devotions. And maybe if we go back to a little bit of that, we wouldn't lose a lot of these young folk that we're losing today. We train them from the time they were born. By the way, maybe the child when he's born ought not be the first name he hears is daddy or mama. Maybe the first name he ought to hear is Jesus. Embedded in him to start with and get it out. I have two children. The oldest one is a girl. And as far as I know, both of them are saved. They are often called in the house and asking me something about the Bible. And then before they hang up, they will say something like this. Thank you, Daddy, for having the standard that you had for our home and teaching us the way you taught us about God. So we need to learn how to fight. Then we need to come into training. Look at that verse again in verse number 3 there in chapter number 2. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. My beloved friend, let me tell you something right now. Listen to me right now. If you think you're going to get saved and nobody ever criticize you and say something about you, you got another thought coming because the devil's going to see that somebody will talk about you. And especially if you take a real stand. When I surrendered to preach, I was working out here at Armstrong, and there was 10 of us white fellows out there where I was at, and they all bet each other $20 apiece that I wouldn't last a year. 20 years later, I candidated at Berea Nachanda, and these fellows showed up, and I found out that they bet each other I wouldn't last a year. And when I saw those fellows walk into Berean Baptist Church out here, I met them with a smile on my face, and I said, I understand you fellas bet each other $20 apiece that I wouldn't last a year in the ministry. Now, I've been in it 20 years. Where's my money? You take a stand. It's not always popular, my beloved friend, to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been gone from this part of the country for a long time. But as far as I know, all the preachers that I've met since I've been back, there's only one preacher out of the crowd that I've met that's ever recommended me to another preacher in this area. You know what his name is? His name is Craig Holmes. You're a pastor. I don't know what you think about him, but I know what I think about him. And I talk to him every now and then. And I called him this past Monday and I said, Brother, are we still on for Sunday? He said, man, you better not mess up my vacation now. And so we get along pretty good. And so there's training that has to go on all the time. I mean, I'm going back. I used to quote verse after verse after verse. Now that I'm 87 years old, that's a little hard to do, so I'm going back and trying to reestablish them in my mind. And I spend 2 or 3 hours at night in my bed going over these scripture verses. If God impresses me with them, I can quote them without just turning there. And so it takes a lot of discipline. And by the way, can I say this? Because I want it to come back to what I'm saying. I think there ought to be fire in the pulpit, because if there's fire in the pulpit, there'll be fire in the pew. But it works right opposite too. If there's some fire out there, there'll be some fire up here. And so God works it that way. And so there's training, there's discipline. There has to be dedication. You can find that in John chapter 2, verses number 1 through 5, about dedication unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a soldier. I know we've had a big racket going on for the last few days, but for over 60 years I've said this from the platform. If you don't love America, we'll get you a ticket and put you on a boat anytime you want to leave. I mean, I fought for this country. And if it's necessary, I'd do it again, even at my age. And I know I'm going to fight for Christ. I'm going to do my best to hold up the blood-stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the popular preachers out of California said, "It's not the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that gets us into heaven. It's not the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that gets us into the heaven." And if he named off the love of it, he said, "It's just the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived." He needs to read the book. And he needs to take Baptist over his name. I don't mind saying that. And, one fellow said to me, "What school did you go to?" And I started to tell him where I went, and then I realized what he was fixing to do. And I said, "Well, I borrowed this from somebody else. I said I went to the Arabian Bible Institute." He said, "What do you mean you went to the Arabian Bible Institute?" I said, "You don't know about that school?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, then you need to go back and read the book of Acts, and I think you'll find it." I said, "That's the one the Apostle Paul went to." And not trying to be a smart aleck, but we put so much emphasis on where we go to school that we forget who we're going for. And we need to put the emphasis on the person who saved our wretched soul. By the way, if you and I had our just dessert this morning, we'd all be in hell burning right now. So there's that. There's dedication. There's discipline. And not only that, I find also that there's a denial. Now, I was born in America, but this is not my country. It's the one I live in. It's the one that I was raised in. But my real country is not here. My real country is above. It's called heaven. And I don't know when I'm going. I don't know when you're going. But I got news for you. Somebody said, are you in a big hurry to get there? No, I know I'm going there, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm not going to walk out here on the road in a minute and a little bit and step out in front of one of these freight trucks coming down the road to get there. No, sir. But I'm prepared to go anytime God calls. I put in a request. I don't know where you ever do anything like this or not, but I've already put in a request for the Lord to let me live till I'm 100. I want to preach on my 100th birthday. Now, whether God allows that, that's up to Him. That would be something else, my dear friend. If God would let me live till I preach the 100, let me preach on my 100th birthday. And as I step down off of the platform, I exit out of here and into glory. Hallelujah. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Jesus said that he tells us how that we ought to do this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, when he said we ought to seek the kingdom of God, and that ought to be the first thing that we do. And so they said, then the third thing is the tools. You've got to have the right weapon. So I know where you stand on that. I got just about any copy of the Bible that's ever been published, just about it, in my library. But the only one that's important, because the rest of them, they put in there what they wanted, basically. But this is the important one right here, the King James. You said, now, preacher, you're trying to make a God at it. No. He said this was His Word. And I take Him at His Word. Brother Rouse has already done this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was there from the beginning, in verse number 2. And so it's still there. And so He tells us that we ought to have some tools. We ought to have some spiritual tools. Those spiritual tools will destroy the works of Satan. And you can find out what tools you need in 2 Corinthians 10:4. And then there ought to be some special tools. All of us ought to know about these. How about all that He tells us in Ephesians 6 about the tools that we ought to have? And how we ought to use those. By the way, God never did give us anything for our back. The armor that He supplies us is for the front. You know why? We're to keep marching forward. We're not supposed to be going backwards, ladies and gentlemen. And so they're special too. Then I find it, and I want you to turn back to Ephesians and look at the verse there in chapter number 6. I want you to get a hold to it. This is the successful tool. Look at verse number 18. He said, pray it always. When? Always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Special tools. He's going to issue us out. By the way, that's the reason we ought to memorize Scripture, because sometimes you may not have a Bible in your hand and you come across somebody that you can talk to, and while you're talking, the Holy Spirit of God will impress a Scripture verse or Scripture verses on your mind. And you can quote those things in that light. On another light, I was witnessing to a man one day on the street, and I use Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know the verse. And the man knelt right there on the sidewalk in the town that we were in, and said he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to question him that after he prayed. And I said, did it really happen? Is it really real? He said, well, I really don't know. And I said, all right, let me see something else here. And I said, I took my little New Testament I had, and I grabbed it up by the edge of the page, and I acted like I was fixing to tear Acts 4:12 out of my Bible. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm fixing to tear this verse out of my Bible. You said it didn't work. He said, you're going to do what? I said, I'm going to tear this out of my Bible. It doesn't work. He said, wait. He said, let's go over that verse again. Let me get a hold of that verse. And he knelt again on the street. And I believe the man really got saved the second time he got down on his knees. But I had a little doubt about the first time. And so if you think you're not ever going to get tested as a believer, you got another thought coming. There's a test out there almost every day. I don't know about you, but when I get up every morning, the devil jumps off the foot of the bed right on my shoulder. And he hangs around all day. And then when I go to bed at night, he jumps off my shoulder onto the bedpost again and sets guard to try to trip me up during my sleep. I'm sure of that. And so here it is. And so there's testings that come all the time. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, down through verse number 10. And then you'll have mental testing. Of course, all of you think I'm crazy anyhow, so that, you know, I got that one solved. Then there's spiritual testing. You can go back to Ephesians 6:13 and find that. And it's a supernatural power that we have, that God does. And I preached a sermon some time ago on the, what are you going to do with Jesus? I used the story about Pilate and when he was trying the Lord Jesus. God used that thing that morning, and we saw great things happen there in the church that I was in. But let me say this. I'm going to march in. I'm victorious today. It may not look like it. But brethren, sisters, let me say something. If we're born again, we'll march in victorious as a family of God when Jesus calls the body of Christ home. The church. The bride of Christ. By the way, ladies, can I say this to you? A lady never looks any better than she does the day she gets married. Are you listening to me? You think about that. And brethren, you think about when we march in there as the family of God into the throne room of God and to bow down to her. We'll never look better than we did at that very moment when we march into glory. Thank God for salvation today. Now I'd like to close with this. I did not write it. It's not my testimony, but I want it to be my testimony. I'm praying that one day that I can say this is my testimony. And as I said, I can't tell you who wrote it because I don't know. But here it goes. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversary, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, talk out, or be pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If He needs me in the Sunday school to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn. Don't sit in silence now. Sit and learn. He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into the army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my need, Philippians 4:19. Then he goes on to say, I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. 4:13 there. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. Let me stop in here. And I know every preacher is different. I understand that. But I have never, I pastored four churches and I never asked any of them what my salary was going to be. I never knew what I was going to get until they gave me the first check that they gave me. I promised God I would not preach for money, that if He wanted me to starve to death, I'd just starve to death. If He wanted me to have a milkshake every now and then, I'd take the milkshake and go on and be happy. And I've seen some days that I thought we wasn't going to eat again. But before I went to sleep, God had done sent the raven around with a hamburger. And I'm saying to you, God shall supply your need. Now, I did say, did I not, that every preacher is different. And if a man's got a bunch of children, and when he takes the church, he's got a right to know what he's going to get. I mean, on a public job. I have never asked for a raise on a public job. I tried to do my job well enough that they thought enough of me to give me a raise. And I always got the raise. And so I'm just saying to you, you have to do it the way God leads you. I am more than a conqueror. I would always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. And the sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army. I'm marching. I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Guess what? If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior for the remission of your sins, you've already enlisted. Question is, which part of the service are you in? Are you in active duty this morning, meaning serving the Lord faithfully, daily, on duty at all times? Or are you in reserve status, meaning serving only when called upon two or three times a year, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter? Or on guard status, backing up the active duty group? Or are you AWL, absent without the Lord? Are you a good soldier this morning? Have you been geared up, primed up, pumped up, ready to go up? You say a good soldier. For the last few days I've been reading in 2 Chronicles. You folks don't ever read 1 and 2 Chronicles because this forgot that and that, you know, just keeps on going down the line. But I'm amazed at how many thousands of folk are listed in those two books. I was even reading this morning where he said there was 200,000 here, 400,000 there. But then I go back and I think about something else in the Old Testament, and I begin to read. And basically when God began to give them men to judge the country, He said that many of them lasted for a generation and lasted for 40 years. Then now they got 40 years of veteran wickedness. And then God raises up another individual. And for 40 years He does that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, they had some great men. They had some great soldiers and all that. David was such a great soldier and had spilt so much blood that God wouldn't even let him build the tabernacle. But he fought God's battle for him. And God allowed him to accumulate all the wood and the gold and the silver and the brass and everything else that was going to be needed for that. You don't ever know where God's going to put you, my dear friend. I mean, listen. I found out this a long time ago. If I stay right with God, God will always have a place for me to serve. My dear brother,
was preaching out, we were just talking, and I was amazed at some of the things that he was saying to me. And he probably had some experiences I've never had. I'm sure I have some of them. But listen, I found out this. I may be the most wicked, most ungodly individual God ever showed. But it was the love of God that called me and brought me to the place that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Love. His love exceeds it all. I told somebody about that this morning. You want me to move this church closer to where I live, or move me closer to this church, because if I was closer, this would be my home. I'm serious. I love you folks. I really do. I'm glad you let me come. I'm glad you never hit me in the head with a ball bat. So thank God for that. Amen. And in spite of all that, I still want to be the soldier that God wants me to be. I've done something, and I'll close. I've done something the last 2 weeks tonight in the church that I'm surprised and stuff. 2 weeks ago, I gave a general altar call for the church. And people in that end order, we had a season of prayer. And when we got done, this is what they said. We can't ever remember that being done in this church. I think every now and then the church ought to go on the altar and pray for one another, live one another. I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. I knew we really heard it this morning. You know you really heard it this morning. But I guarantee you, we fall on our knees before God. God will let us know who we ought to pray for and lift up and give them the encouragement that they need. That's what a good soldier does. We say we never leave a man in our American military corps. We never leave a wounded man or dead man on the battlefield. We always pick him up and bring him home. Listen, we need to pick up Christ's crippled children and make sure they got somebody covering their back. And only a good soldier does that. Have you done that lately? Have you spoken to some wicked sinner outside or somewhere or another and let him know that Jesus was saved if he just repent and call on his name? I mean, salvation is not hard. Living for it may be a little harder than getting saved. And so I'm saying to you, what kind of soldier are you this morning? When you walk out the door, and meet your family outside of the day, are they going to know that you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they really know? I ask folks from time to time, I said, are you saved? Well, we go to such and such church. I'm not interested at that time whether you go to such and such church or not, or whether you're born again or not. And I'm asking you that question because if you're not saved, you're not a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.